Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. So I'm looking around today at some things online, and I see that we're supposed to have Kyle Allen and Christian Kirk today. That'd be a heck of a day. We had them in the past here on the show. We had them in the past. There's some stuff online that says that they're going to be with us. No, they were here in the past, so we will hear a little bit from them. We had them in studio over the summer. If Kevin Sumlin's not making them available this week, how in God's green earth are they going to show up here? I mean, we have a good show, and I have the greatest producer in the world, and Eric, some days. And so I don't think he could pull that. You can't get them on the show, huh? It's already out there, so.
No.
20 minutes?
Sorry. They're in full lockdown
when
mode
I
anyway.
Saw that,
they're
when
on a bus right now from College Station to Houston, probably.
When I saw that tweet that said they're going to be on the show, I'm like, well, that's a great show. I don't see it on my sheet, so come on. I mean, it's nice to try to get people to – that's not even on our end, so whatever. Vic Lombardi is going to join us today from Denver. It may be fake football tonight. It not maybe. It is. If you find yourself watching – all 3 hours and change of the Cardinals game tonight, you need to go on a date. Very simple. You need to go get a social life. Really simple. I know that there's fandom. I know that you care about your team. But be honest with yourself. None of the starters are playing tonight. So what does it mean? I mean, if there's the interest side of the quarterbacks, we'll get into Logan Thomas and Phillip Sims here in a minute. And, you know, if Chris Johnson plays, I get it. There's a few things tonight. And for me, it's just we're a week away now from the start of the season. So we'll get into the Broncos end of things and Peyton Manning and if fans are tired of him or not with Vic Lombardi, used to be here in the Valley. So that's coming up on the show as well. We will hear from Kyle Allen coming up at 10:20. That's where we're going to go with this. From when they were in studio. Not live today. Just being... stuff gets out there, and it's not what we're doing. So let's get you caught up some things in my mind in the world of sports. Brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. About 20 minutes ago, I was talking to Tim Hovick, the great general manager at Santan Ford. I've been telling you about Santan Ford and the people that really make the difference over the last 4 years. They are growing, and they grow like wildfire. Fastest growing Ford dealership, and the Ford brand here in Arizona is strong from top to bottom. Doesn't matter where you are in the state, if you're taking in the show today and the content, you can head to any Ford dealer, but Santan Ford, if you're in the Southeast Valley, you can shop online at Santan Ford around the state. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Tim does it right. Tim's involved corporately, civically. It's not just a sports dude. You may see Santan Ford behind the backstop at a Diamondbacks game or with ASU or out with the Cardinals. Yeah, he's all over the place. But they're involved in a lot more than just sports because you have interests other than sports. And if you're looking for that vehicle and the people to buy from that are corporately and civically committed, then I'd say the Ford Shield, the brand, it's Santan Ford. Just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista, Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Shop online at santanford.com. You know, I'm driving the Fusion, wife's driving the Explorer. We're all happy from Santan Ford. So the Tom Brady story today, if you're just joining us and you haven't seen or heard, you've been too busy working. So Tom Brady, the NFL gets their butt kicked again. He's going to be able to play next week. The NFL is going to appeal. Judge ruled today on this. The NFL has to be more thorough in their investigation. You go back on January 18th, allegations began with the AFC title game. You had the infamous Wells report on May 6th. On May 11th, Brady was suspended for 4 games. On July 28th, the Brady suspension was upheld by the NFL. And today, Judge Berman nullifies Brady's suspension. So the judge today said, NFL, you're wrong. You lose again. How many times have I had to sit here through the last few years and go through the NFL lost again? Or what is the NFL thinking? I mean, if we can just get down to playing football on the field and out of the courtrooms and out of court TV and Judge Judy and video that's taken off of a camera inside of an elevator, or if a guy has a switch that he uses on his kids, if we could ever go through all the social stuff that is going on, not that we shouldn't. I'm not saying that. Air in footballs. And just get right down to blocking and tackling and X's and O's. I don't know if you're fatigued with all this stuff. I was fatigued on the Brady thing a long time ago. The only people that care today are those that drafted Jimmy Garoppolo. That's it. Anybody in your fantasy draft take Garoppolo? I think the Jimmy Garoppolo file film will now be put in the archives forever, kind of like Raiders at the Lost Ark where they're rolling it through at the end. We're never going to see this guy because Tom Brady's going to play. To the Cardinals game tonight, so there are things that are of interest to me, and let's start with Chris Johnson. So Chris Johnson is scheduled to play tonight. It's not a guarantee that he's going to make this roster, from my view. I want to see how well he performs. If you look at the Cardinals roster and factor in Chris Johnson, you have Ellington and David Johnson and Stephon Taylor and Robert Hughes and Chris Johnson. I think we have a still picture of Chris Johnson doing his thing. So Chris Johnson, there are some difficult decisions that need to be made there. And is he going to make this team or not? If Chris Johnson is on this roster, then you have Kerwin Williams, Marion Grice. Williams and Grice, they could play. Are they practice squad guys? So there's five guys at running back. And Chris Johnson, if he gets a chance tonight, that's of interest to me. Okay, so the running back situation, there's that. On the quarterback side, we're not going to see Carson tonight. We're not going to see Stanton tonight. Third-string quarterbacks don't do much for me, but I think in this battle here, there is some intrigue. Look, Logan Thomas was drafted by the Cardinals in the fourth round, and Logan Thomas is fighting for a roster spot tonight. Phillip Sims is the other guy that is competing for the number three spot. I don't see any way, shape, or form that they go and keep both Logan Thomas and Phillip Sims. Sims has had a good camp. Logan Thomas has been erratic, but both of them are guys you look at on the roster and say, are they an upgrade over where they were at the end of last year when they're in the playoff game? And I think the answer on that would be yes. Are they the future when Carson leaves? I would say no. So if you look at those two guys tonight, at Logan Thomas and Phillip Sims, there's definitely some reason of intrigue and to watch. It just gets into the third quarter where everybody and their mother wants to get out of there because all that's left are guys that are going to get cut. I appreciate these guys putting their bodies on the line, but you're not going to see much of anything, I don't think, in the third and fourth quarter of tonight. So for me, and we'll get over to the college football in a minute, because it is a big day in college football, to me, the storyline tonight for the Cardinals is Chris Johnson. If Chris Johnson comes out, and if the offensive line, they're not playing Valdir, so I don't know. I'm not going to be able to tell you that this group will be a cohesive group when they play the Saints a week from Sunday. You know, as it's been, the offensive line has been a disappointment in camp. Anybody who says that the Cardinals have had a great training camp, it's a good thing Dr. J was here, Dr. Jen, because that's been able to take away a lot of the attention nationally on what's gone on here. And now she's not here anymore. Her internship's over, so she's not here. So it's all about, you can go out and do the Jen story all you want, but the offensive line, that's the story. They have enough depth on the defensive line. Sean Weatherspoon plays at linebacker tonight, doesn't play linebacker tonight. I could go through all sorts of scenarios and things to look for. But by and large, if I'm sitting down tonight to watch this, it's going to be, I don't know, I think it's 5:30 the game starts. And I'll be done by, I don't know, 5:50, 6 o'clock maybe. If you're looking for me to analyze backup left tackles, wrong show. Not happening here. Won't do it. Don't care. So we're going to talk some college football on U of A opening tonight. We'll do that in the next segment. Also, R.C. Slocum, we'll hear from him a little bit later on in the show too. RC was with us earlier this week. We're going to try something at 10:30. I'm working on a concept, guys. I'm working on a TV concept. I'm actually going to pull the curtain back a little bit today as we're going to do a dry run. And that's what we do here. We're not sitting here secretively doing stuff. I'm working on a TV project, and I want to try running it through on the show today, on the stream side. So it may be a total disaster. It may be a show that crashes and burns. I may stop in midstream and throw my pen at the camera. Serious. But at 10:30, we're going to do a TV show concept that I'm kicking around. And I just want, there's some people that want to see it. So I'm going to do that on my show. It's my show. It's my stream. So we're going to do that today for a little bit on the show coming up at 10:30. and see how it looks. We'll have some fun with it. The other story that caught my eye today is David Faraday's out. Come on. How is it that CBS blows David Faraday off the golf course? But that story is on my mind too today. All right. U of A football on the other side. Also, Kyle Allen on being the guy at Texas A&M. He was in studio with us earlier. We'll talk about the ASU-Texas A&M game and much more. Our website is sports360az.com. We are Arizona-centric. Things that we see going on in the pro, college, high school world. Not just football. I know it's that time of year. But things that we just see that we feel like jumping on board and talking about that are interesting. That's next.
We're on your mobile phone and tablet at sports360az.com.
So tonight, it's pretty simple. This is one of those nights where if you don't have a sports bar to go hang out at, if you have a guy that wants to come on over with pizza, beer, and wings, this is the night, or whatever it is you want to drink. In this day and age of health food, if it's tofu, celery sticks, and water, I don't know. You have a game tonight, right, E? You're going to be locked in and loaded?
I will. Yeah, I'll be watching TCU.
What time's that game?
6 o'clock.
So the first game's at, what are we at?
Oh, the first game starts at like 3 o'clock. I don't know.
The Michigan-Utah game's at 5, I think.
5:30.
5:30, mm-hmm. Right time, same time as the Cardinals. So I'm locked down at 5:30 then for sure, because I want to see Harbaugh. It's going to be one of those deals where I've just got to sit in my office at home. You've been in my office at home. It's like a little man cave. And I just sit there on the couch, and I'll just go back and forth.
No, it's an office. You have one TV. You don't have like 7 TVs and 4 couches.
I don't want any of that
Okay,
stuff.
So it's an office. Yeah.
It's an office. So
it's a nice office.
I'll shut the door, and I'll throw some food out there. It'll just be me and some grog. And grog is good.
Surf around, watch a few games.
Watch some games. It's 7. I'm one of the few that still has the Pac-12 network.
Well, DirecTV allegedly is getting the Pac-12 network soon. Maybe, cross your fingers. So
tonight?
No, I don't know. I mean, that was the hot speculation that, tonight. But I have not been alerted.
If Larry Scott had his way, like at 3 o'clock this afternoon, flip the switch, and our first game is U of A-UTSA. I don't know if that's the first game you want. Is it Colorado-Hawaii, I think, is late tonight?
Yep.
Man, I could be going to like 1 a.m. watching some football.
I probably will. I'm a sucker for those late games anyway.
Yeah. But so let's get over on the U of A thing, and then we'll hear from Kyle Allen. So U of A plays UTSA tonight, and I know there's some of you that just don't care because you're ASU fans. I care because I want ASU and U of A to continue to build what has been a non-existent rivalry into something of importance. Last year was the first relevant game between the two teams in, I don't know, a dozen, 15 years. Go look it up. I don't need 4-6 against 3-7 and saying it's for all the marbles. I don't care. I don't need, we're going to go to either the Sun Bowl or the Pacific Life, whatever, or we're going to go to San Francisco. No, there is no room or reason or rhyme this year to not have the Territorial Cup game involve two teams ranked in the top 15 at that time of the season. I think it's going to be a really difficult road for U of A because tonight starts the entire season of not having a bye week. Which you got to just look at that and shake your head and say, who did you guys make mad? So it's U of A against UTSA. Wildcats are 29-point favorite. The mighty Roadrunners, they're not mighty. The Roadrunners of UTSA only have 6 guys coming back. So this game should be over early, but there are some things I want to see tonight. Anu Solomon. I want to see Anu Solomon. Last year, Anu Solomon ran for 3,800 yards, or 3 for 3,800 yards, had 28 touchdowns as a freshman. But he didn't finish the season very strong at all. I don't care which insider we've had on over the last, I don't know, 6-8 weeks or at a Pac-12 media day. All of them were looking at Anu Solomon and saying, is there some reason to be concerned and worried there? I think Nick Wilson at running back, you want to see Nick Wilson. And if he continues to play as well as he did last season. Then on the defensive side of the football, you have Scooby Wright. Scooby Wright is as good a linebacker as there was in the country last season. A 2-star recruit coming out of high school, for him to be all over the field tonight. He's a player to watch. I want to watch him. And we'll see what he's all about. So the U of A game should be over pretty early. I mean, if I'm playing my cards right, I might be done by 8 o'clock tonight. Because there's no chance I'm going to sit there and watch fourth quarter NFL preseason football in the fourth game. Not a chance. there's not a chance really I'm going to be sitting there watching the second half of U of A if they're up 35 zip. I got other things to do. I'm a busy guy. But that takes me then to the game on Saturday afternoon. So Kyle Allen was with us in studio earlier this summer, and Christian Kirk. The two of them were here in studio earlier this summer. Christian Kirk is going to play some wide receiver and kick returner. He's going to have a role against ASU on Saturday. I asked Kyle Allen earlier because there's been a lot of speculation about him being the quarterback. He's been named the guy, but the pressure and expectations for the former Desert Mountain High School quarterback, what is it like being in that fishbowl at Texas A&M?
You have to focus your mind. You have to have a lot of discipline and a lot of focus in the season to not get carried away and stuff like that. You got to focus in, and or else you're just going to lose games like we did this year when we went on a stretch and lost three games by a lot of points.
How do you handle the mental fatigue of it? You touched on it just a little bit.
You know, it's just a lot of, I mean, there's not really one way to handle it. It's the way I did it was just kind of sit back and take some time to myself on the weekends, like on Sundays, just not focus on football at all. You know, I'll go in and watch the film of the game like two or three times, and then after that I just put it away and say, look, you need to chill. Like, you got practice on Monday anyways. Just take the rest of the day and take it off, or else you're just going to over fatigue and it's just going to wear on you.
All right, so that was earlier with the two of them in studio. Now he's the guy, but he's got people sitting behind him. In fact, Kevin Sumlin had said that they're probably going to use both quarterbacks at some point. I don't think, Eric, I haven't seen him be definitive about that this week, that they're definitely going to play Murray and Allen this week. But that was what he had said I think it was like 2-3 weeks ago. They plan on playing both quarterbacks.
Yep.
So you're going to be at the game, shooting it and doing your thing. Are you geeked for this game, by the way?
Very much so.
Really?
Yeah.
Even though it's not if it were at College Station, because have you done College Station?
I have. I've seen a game at College Station.
Okay. All right. So have you been to Reliant?
I hear Reliant is loud. I've been to Reliant too. It's very loud.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm excited for it. I mean, just like we talked about earlier this week, do you remember who ASU opened with last year?
Sac State.
Yeah, because I prompted you on that.
Because you prompted
Correct.
Me on it.
This is a marquee game on a weekend where there really aren't a lot of high-end games.
You don't think Wisconsin-Alabama's high-end?
Not a lot. There are a few.
That's not even sold out, by the way, Wisconsin-Alabama.
40,000 tickets sold.
Embarrassing.
40,000 tickets.
That's embarrassing.
I mean, you have Notre Dame and Texas. Those are two historically good programs, but Texas is not great.
Well, I want to see Notre Dame just crush Texas.
Notre Dame is pretty good.
It's kind of fun watching Steve Patterson just twist.
I think Alabama's going to wax Wisconsin, so yeah.
All right. We're going to step aside here, and on the other side, we're going to sample something out here over the next half hour. It's a concept I'm kicking around, and I'm going to let you guys check it out. That's next. Let's go to Denver tonight. The Cardinals wrap up fake football preseason game number 4 against the Broncos. None of the starters really are going to show much for the Cardinals tonight. Vic Lombardi, CBS 4 Denver, Fan 104.3, very popular here in the Valley before he went to Denver. He joins us on the eve of getting this stuff behind us. So let's just start there. How many Bronco regulars are going to be on the field tonight?
That's a good question. Regulars. It depends what you find regular. Key starters, I'd maybe say none. Rookie starters, one or two. Regulars, three or four. So listen, it is what it is. It's the fourth preseason game. Nobody really cares about the outcome of the game. The only people that care are the three or four kids fighting for a roster spot. And the thing is, here in Denver, there aren't many roster spots available.
So, Vic, you have Gary Kubiak that's come on board then, and let's just talk about the change in culture, philosophy. How has he adapted up there?
Well, the culture isn't that much different. I mean, it's not like he came in here and completely changed the philosophy and the approach to football. I mean, John Fox was a pretty laid-back coach, and so is Gary Kubiak. But the difference here is the offense and the deliberate offense. You know, Peyton Manning had a hand in pretty much everything they did offensively for the last 3 years. This offense is much more deliberate, much more play action, slower pace. The big question here is, will Peyton be able to adapt? Mm-hmm. Will he be able to do what he does and at the same time Kubiak coach the way he does?
How have the two mixed so far?
Well, you know, it's preseason. If you look just at the games in the preseason, it hasn't gone well. I mean, there have been 9 drives run by Manning in the preseason. Not a single one ended up in the end zone. Now, you can say that, well, who cares? It's the preseason. You know, historically, he doesn't really show his hand in the preseason, so why are we concerned? The other side, you could say there is cause for concern because you're trying to learn a new offense and you're trying to implement a new offense and it hasn't worked well. I think it's going to take 4 or 5 games in the regular season before we can give a fair evaluation of whether or not they mesh.
Denver Broncos inside from Vic Lombardi, CBS 4 in Denver, Fan 104.3 in Denver as well with Brad Sussmat. So the fans on Peyton Manning, is it still 100% or is there, when are we going to start to see a succession plan? How are the fans responding to this, Vic?
Oh, you know, it's funny. I call it Manning fatigue, and it's a bit unfair, but I think there's a pretty strong faction of fans who are sort of like, hey, let's do something here. Let's get it going. What have you done for me lately? And trust me, they are pretty vocal. I think they're tired of seeing the same old, same old. That's spoiled sort of belief, but that's the way it is here. You know, they get to the playoffs and they fall apart. They don't play the way they did earlier in the season. And I think the mindset for Gary Kubiak is to peak at the right time. And if that means giving Peyton a little more rest earlier in the season, we may see that. Instead of being in the game in the fourth quarter, we're up by 2 touchdowns, give him the seat, let him rest. Every Wednesday, he's going to be slated to rest and not practice with teams on Wednesday. He doesn't want to do that because Peyton Manning is very much into detail and his schedule, and he's very much a creature of habit. But that's what they're going to do to make sure he is fresh come November and December.
Okay, so fans here remember Brock Osweiler. The best memory that we've seen the last 2 years of Brock Osweiler was, I think it was Denver last year against Oakland, where he was running on the field and then turned around in disgust and headed back to the sidelines. So where does he fit in up there, Vic?
Good question. I think they're wondering the same thing the Broncos are, because this is a big year for Brock. He is in his final year of his contract. Do they re-sign him based on hope, based on what he can do, based on potential? Because we haven't seen him play a real game. We haven't seen him take real snaps. So that's all a guessing game at this point. And the Broncos are going to have to make that decision sooner than later. They don't know, and I don't think we know.
The help around Peyton Manning, is there enough help up there around him?
Sure, there is. I mean, here's how I determine whether or not this guy can play. Do you really think he would come back another year, put his pride on the line, put his legacy on the line if he didn't think he could play anymore? I think you have to have enough understanding in who he is and what he's all about. If he felt he physically couldn't match up anymore, he'd probably call it a career. I think he's fine there. The question is whether or not he's going to be able to adapt to this offense. That's a big one.
Okay, AFC West, what's it look like for the Broncos in your view?
Same deal. I think the rest of the teams are chasing. KC still, they really didn't do that much in the offseason. San Diego. Raiders are a little better. But I'd be surprised if Broncos didn't win this division. It'd be a disappointment, certainly. They may not go 12-4, 13-3. They may win it at 11-5, but I expect them to win this division.
Vic, appreciate the time as always. Thanks.
Brad, take care, bud.
You got it. There's Vic Lombardi with us, CBS 4 Denver, Fan 104.3, joining us from Denver tonight, Cardinals and the Broncos.